Well, good morning. It took you 3 years to respond? You guys are slow learners. No, I'm so glad to be here today, and Cheryl's with me this morning as well. Thrilled to have her with us. But before I give you my last message, I want to invite my co-chair of the Board of Elders, Chad Huff, up, because he has a special announcement for you. Y'all know what happened last weekend, right? Were you here? Who was all here last weekend? Somebody special was here. Chad.
Thank you, Bob. Again, to introduce myself, I'm Chad Hoff. I'm the co-chair of the Board of Elders here at Circle Drive. For some of you that were here on Sunday, last Sunday, we had Pastor Prince Thomas here to candidate for our church. And from our perspective, it was a very successful weekend and candidating process. And so I am pleased to tell you that we've made an offer to Prince, and he has accepted the offer to come be the next lead pastor of Circle Drive. Yeah, thanks very much. It's been quite a process, and we're extremely grateful and thankful for all the support, patience, prayer, faithfulness, everyone here, the staff, Pastor Bob, the district, throughout this whole process. We're very grateful as a Board of Elders. We just ask that you continue to pray for us and provide us your patience and grace, and we just look forward to this next chapter of the church.
Awesome. And it's October 15th?
Yeah, his start date is October 15th approximately, yeah.
So it's, all right.
Yeah, it'll be mid-October.
Awesome. Okay. Thanks, brother.
Thank you very much.
Appreciate that. That great news? So let me pray. Father, thank you that we, who are many, are one body in Christ, and that you've gifted each one of us to carry out a particular role in that body. And I thank you for this congregation. I thank you for 3 years together. Speak to us now through your word. Open our hearts to what you are doing in our midst and what you're about to do. We receive this gift this morning in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. There's a passage in the New Testament that I've been sitting on for weeks as this day approached. It doesn't contain a dramatic miracle or a theological argument that students debate in seminaries. It's something quieter and in some ways more powerful, and it contains a farewell. If you have your Bible, you have your notes that are here that you received when you came in. And by the way, Prince doesn't use notes, so this will be your last set of notes. And don't judge him for that, okay? He'll figure things out. But if you have your Bible or your app, go to Acts chapter 20. Because the Apostle Paul is making his way back towards Jerusalem, knowing that imprisonment and hardship are waiting for him there, and he sends word to Ephesus, to the elders of the church that he had planted and poured his life into for 3 years. And he asks them to meet him at Miletus, because he couldn't go back to Ephesus, they would have killed him. And the elders come. And what follows in Acts chapter 20, verses 17 to 38, is one of the most personal passages in all of Paul's writings. Not written, spoken, face-to-face to people that he loved. And what he believed was his last day that he would ever stand before them. 3 years, the same length of time that I've been your transition pastor. Paul, 3 years in Ephesus. Me, 3 years in Saskatoon. And both of us, at the end of those 3 years, standing in front of the people that we have come to love, knowing the chapter is closing and a new beginning starting. Look what it says in verses 18 to 24. You know how I lived the whole time I was with you from the first day I came into the province of Asia. I served the Lord with great humility and with tears and in the midst of severe testing. Sounds like transitional pastoring, doesn't it? I only know that in every city the Holy Spirit warns me that prison and hardships are facing me. I don't think that's what's in front of me, but only God knows. However, I consider my life worth nothing to me. My only aim is to finish the race and to complete the task the Lord Jesus Christ has given to me. Notice the three words that stopped me this week. It's the very first three words. You know how. Paul did not say, "Let me tell you how I lived." He said, "You know." The proof of his ministry was not in a document or in a portfolio or on his LinkedIn page. It was 3 years that they had shared. The people at Miletus were the evidence. And I want to say the same to you. I'm not going to stand here and tell you what these 3 years have meant to me. You have been here. You already know. What I want to do is what Paul did, not to be honored on his way out, but prepare the people he loved for what came next. And so the title of this final message is How to Welcome a New Pastor. Your new lead pastor is Prince Thomas. How well this chapter in Circle Drive goes will depend in significant part on how well you receive him. And so this morning I want to talk about four commitments that I want you to make. So let's go. But before we go into them, I want to acknowledge one more thing about the parallel between Paul and me this morning. Paul said at Miletus that he considered his life worth nothing to him. His only aim was to finish the race. That's what transitional pastoral ministry is designed to be. You give everything that you have to the people God places you in with love and care, and then you release them. You do not hold on to what was never yours to keep. You give everything to them. You give everything to the people of God that he's placed in your care. And just as he understood that he had to release them, I want to try to do the same here. This morning is my finish line. As I've said many times in this last month, mission accomplished. And before we go into them, I want you to hear one more thing that Paul said at Miletus. He said in verse 24, "I consider my life worth nothing to me. My only aim is to finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given to me." And that's what transitional pastoral ministry is. You come into a church, you give everything that you have, you do the work of that season, and then you release the people you love into the next thing God has prepared. And you finish the race. You don't hold on to what was never yours to keep. I told you right from the beginning, I'm only temporary. And you are thinking today, is 3 years temporary? Yes. I tried to do that, to hold very loosely what God has given to me. During this process, I was working with a church back in Edmonton. It fell through. And so through a period of discernment with my inner circle and with Cheryl, we just really feel that we need to take a break. And so I've actually notified my district superintendents that I'm going to retire. You guys were so hard on me, I have to quit. I've had phone calls from both district superintendents. Doesn't mean I won't ever do a transition ministry again. It just means it will be very specifically designed for what I'm equipped to do. So let's look at the four commitments. Are you ready to do this? Turn to your neighbor and say, "You need to hear this." And turn back and say, "And you need to commit to this." The first thing I want you to commit to is to pray for him, and in brackets, them. Paul says, keep watch over yourselves and all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Be shepherds of the church of God, which he bought with his own blood. So be on guard. The one thing Paul told those elders to do after he left them was to be on guard, to keep watch, not to coast, not to assume that what God had built would maintain itself without intentional, spirit-filled attention. And that charge begins, as every significant thing in the kingdom of God does, with prayer. I want to tell you something that I've never said from this pulpit. One of the most significant moments of my early ministry happened on a Sunday, one of my first Sundays at a church, not this one, early, many years ago. After the service, a man took my hand and said, "You are covered in prayer." He said a group had been meeting every week since my name was announced, praying for me by name. And he said, "You walked into the room this morning that has already prayed for you." I cannot describe what that did for me. It reminded me of on day one that I was not alone. And Prince will walk through these doors for the second time, carrying things none of us will see, a new city, a new congregation, new relationships to build from scratch, a history that he's not been a part of, and he will need to learn. Expectations. Some will be reasonable and some not, that he will need to navigate with grace. And the most powerful thing this congregation can do for him before he arrives and then after he does is to pray. Not generally, specifically, by name. Paul said in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 19, "Pray that I will be given the message to speak and that I may fearlessly explain the mystery about the good news." This is Paul, the most gifted communicator in the New Testament, asking people to pray that he would have the right message and the courage to deliver it. So if Paul needed that prayer, Prince Thomas needs it. And so does every pastor who has ever stood in a pulpit and tried to say something on behalf of God. Pray for his first Sunday. Pray for his first year. Pray for his family. Pray for his private life and the hours in his study, the invisible weight of pastoral care. And start before he arrives. Establish a rhythm of praying for Prince that begins this week and never fully stops. I have prayed for this congregation. More times than I can count. On Sunday mornings, as I walked around while the worship team was practicing in this sanctuary, praying for the people that were sitting in these pews, that God would encounter them. In my truck on the way to Saskatoon, on the way to difficult conversations, in hospital parking lots, those prayers do not stop. When I leave today, they just simply change form. From this day forward, I am one more person outside the walls praying for Prince and for Circle. But my prayers from a distance will never substitute for yours being right here. You are the ones that God has placed in this season. Pray like it. I'm going to get close to you this morning, but it's my last Sunday. Ready? Number two. Put yourself in his shoes. I want you to know something right now before I read this passage. Think about Prince's church this morning who are going to hear that he's leaving. They are going to experience grief. They are going to experience the unknown. And he is going to experience grieving in a way that even I haven't, because he's been at that church for 8 years. You see, the role of a pastor, if you were here, I'm totally off my script, sorry guys. If you were here for our town hall meeting when we talked about the history of the church, I explained to you that in ministry, it's like a double-edged sword. On the left side of the sword, the edge is where we experience the call of God. That's why we do what we do, because God's called us into ministry. And so when God calls us to move from Surrey, BC, to Saskatoon, Saskatchewan, you obey it. You do it. But on the opposite side of that sword is the cutting of relationships that you're going to leave behind. And that's never easy. That's difficult. And so just as you will be grieving a little bit, he will be grieving a lot too. So when he comes, be gracious with him. Because relationally, he's still a little bit connected behind. Does that make sense to you? Chapter 20, verse 20 says, "You know that I have not hesitated to preach anything that would be helpful to you, but have taught you publicly from house to house." Notice not just what Paul preached, but where? Publicly and from house to house. He moved toward people. He didn't establish a venue and say, "Come and see me." He entered their space. He sat at their tables. He learned their stories. And that is what a pastor does when he comes to a new place. And the quality of his ministry in the first year will be shaped enormously on how well the congregation moves towards him in return. I know there's something that's kind of unique about this culture that we live in, especially as believers. We are not really open to hospitality. But I would really challenge you. Clean your house and call the office and ask the pastor to come over for supper with his family. Get to know him. Allow him to get to know you. Matthew 6:7, verse 12 says, "Do for others what you would want them to do for you." Imagine walking into this building for the first time as the lead pastor. You know the name of the church. You might know a few names. But you don't know the unwritten rules. You don't know which relationships carry history. You don't know what happened 3 years ago or 20 years ago that still quietly shapes how certain people respond to certain topics. You don't know the conversations in the parking lot after every service. You are, in every meaningful sense, a stranger, a welcomed and called stranger, but a stranger nonetheless. So put yourself there. I hope you wear a name tag for the first few Sundays until he knows you. Introduce yourself, even if you've been here 40 years. Shape your life with him share your life with him before you bring him your agenda. Allow him several months before evaluating his performance. And most importantly, decide before he arrives that you're going to be here for him. You're going to support him, not conditionally. Not all support him if he does the things the way I'd like. A pre-planned, faith-based commitment to be for Prince the way that you want people to be with you. And there's a practical discipline worth building into this. When you find yourself forming a strong opinion about something Prince has said or done in the first few months, pause before you share it. Ask yourself these questions. Do I have enough information? Have I been here long enough with him in the room, in a relationship, to know what I think I know? In most cases, in the first months, the honest answer will be no, you don't know. And that's not a reason to suppress your discernment permanently. It's a reason to hold it lightly until you have the context that only time and relationship can provide. Give him the gift of a fair witness. Believe the best in him first. Please write that on your notes. Believe the best in him first. Let me say something about giving him many months, because I think it's often misunderstood. Patience with a new pastor is his first months is not the same as lowering your standards. It's recognizing that good judgment requires good information, and good information in a new place takes time. Prince may make a decision in a month or 2 months or 3 months that he might not make 6 months later. He may frame something in a way that feels off because he doesn't fully understand the story. He may miss a nuance that only comes through a relationship. This is not a failure. It's just a normal experience for a new pastor. Give him the time to get information he needs. Your patience is not a concession. It's an investment. That is not naivety. It's not the abdication of discernment. It's the choice to enter this relationship with a generous spirit, to give more benefit of the doubt than you withhold, to assume good intent before you assume the bad, to speak well of him in the conversations that happen in this parking lot and around dinner tables. Romans 12, verse 10 says, "Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves." This is not a feeling. It's a choice. You welcomed me well 3 years ago. And I want to say that plainly, and I want to say it publicly. You were patient when I was still learning your names. You were generous when my decisions didn't land perfectly. You gave me room to be the right kind of pastor for this particular season without demanding that I be every kind of pastor. That gift, a generous reception, created the conditions in which genuine ministry became possible. Give that same gift to Prince. He will not forget it. And neither will God. Number three, and I've got to hustle. Commit to let him use his gifts. Look at that passage that's on your outline or on the screen above. I want you to underline the very first four words. We have different gifts. Paul lists seven spiritual gifts here and takes an observation that is simultaneously obvious and revolutionary. No one has all of them. Every member of the body has at least one, but no member has all of them. And that is not an oversight in the design. That is the design. God made us incomplete on purpose so that we would need each other. But here's where churches consistently get in trouble. We expect our pastors to have all the gifts. He should be an inspiring preacher, an insightful teacher, and a visionary leader, and an organized administrator, and a compassionate caregiver, and a wise counselor, and be an evangelist always in the community, and a chaplain always when he's in somebody's home. I want to say this to you plainly, after almost 45 years of ministry. No pastor alive can do all of that. Not one. And the congregations that silently expect it will burn their pastors out and then wonder why it's wrong. So when you discover what Prince's gifts are, celebrate them and make room for them. When you discover the areas where he's not strongest, don't criticize those gaps. Fill those gaps. That's your job. Raise your hand. Come forward and volunteer. That's the body of Christ functioning the way Paul described it. If his gift is preaching, don't resent the energy he spends in this sermon preparation. If his gift is vision, make room for the new ideas rather than immediately reaching for, well, we've never done it that way. And if this gift is teaching, as you've proven to me, sit under it with genuine hunger. Romans 12, 3 has a word for the congregation as much as for the pastor. Do not think of yourselves more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment. In a pastoral transition, This is a warning worth taking seriously. Every congregation has people with a strong sense of how things should be done. People who, with the best of intentions, can become the most significant obstacles to a new pastor's effectiveness because their sense of ownership is stronger than their openness to being led. Hold your preferences a little more loosely than feels natural. Make room for the Holy Spirit to lead through the person God has placed in your shepherd role. After 4 decades of ministry, I can tell you what the congregations that flourish under a new leadership have in common. They decided early to be a gift to their pastor rather than a burden. They offered them their gifts rather than their preferences. They gave their energy to the mission rather than to manage stuff for their own comfort. Circle has that capacity to be that congregation for Prince. But I have watched it for 3 years. The gifts are in this room. The question is whether you will offer them generously to your new lead pastor. All right, with one minute left, let me finish. Number 4, be open to what God wants to do. Now I commit you to God. In his final moment with these elders, Paul does not summarize his accomplishment. He does not outline a strategy plan. He does not list things to protect or preserve his ministry. He commits them to God. And that is the act of a pastor who generally understands what pastoral ministry is and is not. Not the creation of a monument, but the entrusting of beloved people to a God who is present before the pastor arrived and will be present but when the pastor is gone. And then he quotes Jesus, "It is more blessed to give than receive." I want you to know something about that. It is the only place in the New Testament where this saying of Jesus is recorded. Not in any other gospel. We have it only because Paul quoted it on the last day that he would see these people. And he never forgot it. It shaped everything. Openness to what God wants to do requires the same posture. Holding loosely to what has been, or there's room for what has come, so there's room for what is coming. So some of you will be tempted to evaluate Prince's ministry against what came before, against the pastors that you love, the styles of ministry that you were comfortable with, ways of doing things that felt right because they were familiar. That evaluation is natural. It's human. And it's one of the most significant obstacles to genuine openness. God does something different with every pastor. Amen? Not better or worse, just different. And each brings particular gifts, particular experience, and a particular way of seeing the world and the Word. And the congregation that spends the next 3 years wishing Prince was more like his predecessors in this congregation, that misses what God wants to do through Prince. Here's an image that I've been carrying all week. Experienced sailors know that a sail which is rigid and fixed in position cannot catch the wind, no matter how strong it blows. A sail that is properly trimmed, flexible, responsive, adjusted to the direction of the wind, is actually moving, can be filled by even the most breeze and propel the vessel far beyond what human effort could achieve. The Holy Spirit is described in Scripture as wind, one of the words, raka in Hebrew, pneuma in Greek, both meaning breath, wind, spirit. Will you trim your sails? Will you be a congregation flexible enough, responsive enough, open enough to catch what the Spirit is going to do through your lead pastor? Openness is not the absence of discernment. God into the word of his grace is still the standard, but everything Prince preaches and leads should be measured against Scripture and the character of Christ. But the starting posture, the default, should be generosity of spirit, the assumption of good faith, The willingness to follow before you have all the information because you trust the God who is leading through the person he has placed right in front of you. When I arrived at Circle 3 years ago, the congregation had every reason to be closed towards me. You had been through real pain, real conflict, real loss. People you loved had left, trust had been broken, and you could have understandably built walls against the next thing that God wanted to do. And the fact is, you didn't. The fact that you chose slowly and sometimes painfully to remain open, to let me in, to let healing begin, to believe God still had something to build here, that is one of the most extraordinary things that I've ever watched a congregation to do. To be open when openness was hard, to be open now when openness is an invitation. Let Prids in. Let God surprise you. The next chapter can be better than anything you could have designed on your own. I mean, as we reflected as a search team and as a board of elders on just what has happened in the last 6 to 8 weeks with Prince, there is God's fingerprints all over this. We couldn't even have predicted this, but that's God. So let me give you a final word. I know I'm over. Fire me. When Paul had finished speaking, he knelt down with them, all of them, and prayed. They all wept as they embraced him and kissed him. What grieved them most was his statement that they would never see his face again. Then they accompanied him to the ship. Every time I read these verses, the same detail shouts out at me. Not the weeping, not the embracing and the kissing, but the last sentence. And they accompanied him to the ship. They went with him as far as they could go, to the point where the water began and the land ended, and the only way forward was alone. And then they stood on the shore and watched him go. In a few minutes, I'm going to walk out of this building, jumping and screaming. No, I'm just going to walk out of this building the last time as your pastor. And I'm going to drive away from Saskatoon towards a new chapter that we don't know what's going to unfold. And you're going to stay here. And Prince is going to come. And Circle is going to keep going as it has been going for 90 plus years. Long after my name fades from your memory, that's exactly the way it should be. You see, transitional pastors are not meant to be permanent. They are meant to be faithful for a season, give everything that they have, then release the people God's placed into their care into the next thing that he has prepared. But before I get in that truck, I want to do what Paul did at Miletus. I want to commit you to God and to the word of his grace. Circle, you are a 90-plus year congregation that has survived things that should have broken you, served a community that doesn't always know your name, worshiped a God who has never once abandoned you. You have come through a hard season with more resilience and more grace than most churches could ever manage. And you're not a struggling church limping into an uncertain future. You are a church that's been refined, and that refinement is real. Over 90 years of faithful people choosing season after season to keep going, to keep worshiping, to keep serving a community that does not always notice or appreciate your work. That is the inheritance that Prince is stepping into. He's so aware of it. And it is a remarkable one. Help him see it with clarity. Help him understand the weight of what he has been entrusted with. And then stand with him as he carries it forward, not as a burden, but as a privilege. 4 commitments, a new chapter, an unchanging God. Pray for him. Put yourself in his shoes. Let him use his gift and be open to what God wants to do. And here's what I know from watching churches navigate transitions over four decades. The congregation that does this well are not the ones with the most resources or the most stable history. They are the congregations that commit early to supporting their pastor instead of just watching him. They arrive on his first Sunday, having already prayed for him by name. They wear their name tags. They offer their gifts. They hold their preferences loosely. They decide beforehand to be a gift rather than a burden. That isn't complicated, but it's rare. And it's completely within your reach. That's how you welcome a new pastor. Do these four things, not perfectly, but consistently, with intention and grace. And I believe that what God builds in this next season of Circle will surpass anything that has come before it. I believe that with everything I have, and I have watched this congregation for 3 years, I know what's in this room. The best is still ahead. Before I pray, will you make one commitment in your heart, maybe just one of those four? The one that's most relevant to where you are right now, maybe it's prayer. You know you haven't been praying for this church the way that you could be. Maybe it's generosity. There are expectations you're carrying into this new relationships that aren't fair to Prince. Maybe it's your gifts. You've been watching and waiting for someone else to do the thing that God has actually given you the gifts to do. Or maybe it's openness. You've been holding something tightly that you need to release. Pick the one. And then stand, please. I'd like to pray for you. Father, I stand here on the last Sunday of 3 years with these exceptional people. People I've come to love in ways that I didn't expect when I arrived. And I do what Paul did at Miletus. I commit them to you. I commit the people of Circle to the God who built it, who has sustained it through 9 decades of faithfulness and failure and everything in between, and who is not finished with it yet. And I pray for Prince Thomas, for his family, his preparation, his church family, as they even hear the words this morning. Comfort that church, I pray. Their loss is our gain. May we pray for his first Sunday, his first year. Give him the wisdom that he hasn't needed yet. Give him courage for conversations he doesn't know are coming, and give him vision for a congregation he is going to begin to know. Let him feel on his first Sunday what I felt on mine, that he is covered in prayer, that he is not alone, and that the people sitting in front of him have already decided to be for him. And I pray for the people of this church. Make them a praying congregation. Increase that in us. A generous congregation. A congregation that releases its pastor to use his gifts and refuses to demand what God never put on him. Make them open to surprise, to being led, to the wind of your spirit, even when it moves them in directions they didn't plan. You are a good God. You have been faithful to Circle over these years, and you will not stop now, because the next chapter is already written in your hands, and it is good. In Jesus' name I pray. And all God's people said, Amen. Love you, folks.